Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Morning, good morning. So excited to be here with you all this morning. In particular, just been spending time with Pastor Bruce and Terry for the last few days, and it's been just amazing. They haven't changed at all. The way, you know, he and Terry, they are so loving and hospitable that they were like that from the day one. When I arrived in New York City, I was looking for an apartment. I haven't moved in yet, but he opened his tiny living room for me to stay there to look for an apartment. And ever since, I've really literally lived with him because church finance office was in his living room. So. Yeah, so I commuted to his home and things like that, but so privileged to really have worked with him and Terry over the years, and love them to dearly. Also know Bertina from the very beginning. She got saved in a church in New York City and raised up as a leader, youth minister, and then be sent out to Taipei. We cried a lot because she left. I know she was really a key part of this church from the very beginning, and so this has been a reunion for us, and so it's been great, and it's so great to see all of you guys, because this church has been on my heart for many, many years, because I partially now work with Mark. I'm a good friend with Kevin Na as well, and so worked with this church behind the scenes with kind of a little bit of admin and finance and things like that. So this church has always been on my heart. So finally, we got to visit here on a Sunday service, got to see your faces. So praise God for that. Pastor Bruce said I have four children. There's a most recent Christmas picture here. So we have four children. One on the left here is my oldest daughter. She graduated from Yale last year and lives in LA now, working. My second daughter, Kana, is actually here. She just made it in from LA. Praise God. She is senior at USC. And our son, this one is Boston University. He's a junior. And then the little one, 10-year-old, is actually not feeling well, so he's sleeping over there. So sorry about that, but you'll see him running around later. Anyway, so had a privilege to raise our children in Harlem, in New York City, by God's protection. Nobody got hurt or shot or anything like that. Anyway, so it's been a journey. Raising four children, but we knew that God called us to New York City, to the middle of New York City, and God has been faithful to provide for us, protect us, and lead us. So, all right, let's get into the message this morning. Have you ever had your kitchen drain clogged?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good. It's not just me. And so it happens quite often, right? Things just go down, and we try to, you know, put a filter and things like that. But before you know it, like, you know, it just gets clogged. And if it's really bad, and then you have to call in a professional to come in and unclog everything. And so as I was thinking about this message, you know, this picture really represents our heart. Sometimes our hearts get clogged so much, right, that we don't know what to do. And the more we try to do with our own strength to solve issues and unclog things in our hearts, it gets clogged more, right? So what are the things that gets clogged in our hearts? Maybe anxiety about life. If you're students, maybe, you know, studying for exams, or relationship with roommates or friends, just different things, political things can clog your heart, relational pains, unforgiveness, regrets. Self-blame, loneliness, all sorts of sin that we have in our lives, and sometimes it's generational things that we carry that we don't even know, right? And so there's so many things that get clogged in our hearts, in our minds. And over time, we need help. And this is the same whether you believe in Jesus or not. Okay, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're perfect. I'm not, at least. And things get clogged. Even as a pastor, things get clogged. And so we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. He is the only one who can take things out of your heart and make us clean. So let's go to today's passage, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. I'm going to read this. Oh, it's here. It says, can you see? Okay. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, and he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender and two debtors had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Father, I pray, Lord God, that your word will penetrate into our hearts, Lord. I thank you, God, that you will highlight the things that's in our hearts that need to be brought to your feet today. Lord, I thank you, God, that your forgiveness is available, that your saving power is available. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that we would all be able to receive your love this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this story, we see a sinful woman, and it's clear that many things were clogged in her heart. Okay, she knew that she was a sinner. Everyone knew that she was a sinner. What kind of life that she lived? And the Bible actually doesn't say what kind of sins she committed, but everyone knew. And let's see what's in the next slide here. Yes, so we have this woman here, known by others as a sinner, self-aware that she was a sinner, could not live a righteous life. And so it's different when you live a life that you want and you live a sinful life. It's another thing when you are kind of forced to live that kind of life because of just so many different circumstances and things like that. She accumulated sin over her lifetime in order to survive. Right? Sometimes we feel that pressure. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's pressure from work. You have to live in certain way that you know that that's not pleasing to the Lord. She continued to blame herself. That was really the picture of the kind of life that she lived. And then let's look at Simon, who invited Jesus. He was a Pharisee. Pharisees were known as righteous people. Right? They believed that they were righteous because they tried to live a life keeping the law. That was the standard of their living. And really built their standing on keeping the law. And so their position, the way they presented themselves and the power that they held and things like that were based on how they lived in keeping the law. And yet they were unaware of their own sinfulness. So you see the contrast between this woman, sinful woman, and the Pharisee who was supposed to be righteous. And now to these two people, Jesus compares their actions. And so we see that sinful woman wet his feet and with her tears and wiped them with her hair. But Simon did not offer water to wash his feet. Sinful woman did not stop kissing his feet. But Simon did not give him a kiss when Jesus came in to greet. Sinful woman anointed his feet with perfume, and Simon did not anoint his head with olive oil. And so you see these differences. So what are these actions? And so in Jewish culture at that time, offering water to wash, you know, the feet of the guests, greeting the guests with, you know, with a kiss, anointing the head with oil, those were actually just a basic hospitality. In Japanese word, it's called omotenashi. I don't know if you heard that before. But there are, in different cultures, you have certain, you know, type of hospitality that you offer as guests come in, like Pastor Bruce was saying. And so that was a basic thing, and Simon, the Pharisee, he knew better. And yet, this religious person who thought that he was righteous, he was the right person, didn't even do that for Jesus, the prophet, the teacher. He didn't even do that. He failed to even offer the most basic hospitality. But then, this woman, he offered something that's much better, much deeper, worship to Jesus. You see the contrast here. That was not her custom. That wasn't her practice every day. But it came out of just the revelation and the gratitude that she had on Jesus, what he has done for her. You know, when we look back in our lives, we sometimes remember the time that when we were saved, when we got saved. Remember how Jesus forgave our sins. Remember that how he healed us. Remember all the things that he has provided for us. And we were so grateful. We were raising hands and praising God and just thanking God and living a life that's worship to him. And yet after a while, being a pastor for a while, I get into this religious mode, like Simon. I forget how grateful I was before. I forget how sinful I was and how much God has forgiven me. I forget all these things when I get into my routine of even reading the Bible and praying and serving in the church and doing all these things, I forget. And so this past year or two has been a journey for me to go, really go back to the first love. Remembering that I don't stand here because I'm a pastor. I don't stand here because I have four children. I stand here by the grace of God. He has forgiven me. And that will never change. That will never change. I don't want to find myself in Simon's shoes. Ever. Jesus continues, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And this is not a comparison between, you know, who has the most sin, things like that. It's our awareness of our own sin. And you see that this woman was fully aware herself. Nobody had to tell her that she was sinful. she was fully aware. But Simon was not. He thought he was perfect. How much are we aware of our own sin? We don't have to have Pastor Bruce tell us, right? We know. You can fake it. You know yourself. And God knows. And there's no hiding. And there needs to be no fear, because He is loving. God is loving. God is ready to forgive. God is ready to heal, save, restore, provide. He is a loving Father. Let's look at what this woman did a little more closely here. So she wet Jesus' feet with her tears and kissed them and poured expensive ointment on his feet. Now this perfume that she brought in an alabaster jar, this was a very costly thing. It's a very expensive thing. It's probably the most expensive thing that she had, she owned, which not only represented a dollar value, but her life. And for her to bring that whole thing and pour that upon the feet of Jesus is almost saying, like, I'm offering my life to you. I'm gonna never go back to the way I lived my life. That's what she did. So it wasn't just hospitality for the guest, just bringing everything to the Lord. She wiped his feet with her hair. For women to let down her, you know, her hair in public was disgraceful back then. But she didn't care. She knew she needed Jesus. She didn't care what other people thought. She came to Jesus with such a boldness and with humility. She also kissed his feet. It's a sign of reverence. You usually kiss on the cheek to greet people in, but she kissed his feet, bow down, sign of humility, reverence, and love. I believe we can respond in a similar way. Wherever we are, recognizing our own sin and brokenness, things that we carry in our hearts, things that are clogged in our hearts, we can bring all of that, to the feet of Jesus. He sees all of those things. And as we do that, just as Jesus said to this woman, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I believe at this moment, when she heard these voices, everything that was clogging her heart was removed. Everything. It wasn't because she did these acts that she was forgiven and she was saved. But Jesus saw her faith, that she even came out of her house knowing that she's going to be rejected by so many. But she didn't care. She just pressed through to Jesus. And Jesus saw that faith and said, your sins are forgiven. Out of the gratitude, she was able to offer this kind of worship to Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 11 says, is it here? In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When we remember the depth of our sin and the grace that forgave us, our worship and service are no longer duties, like Simon. They become responses of gratitude. Now, forgiveness is not the end of the story. Sometimes when we receive from Jesus, we are forgiven, we are saved, we're happy, you know, we feel like this is it, okay? but it's actually the beginning of the story. Because now that Jesus removes things in our hearts, God actually wants to flow something through our hearts, right? What happens? Because it's our lives are a channel of God's love. That's what it is. When things are clogged, we cannot receive from God, and we cannot flow anything through our lives to other people. Now, when we receive from Jesus, and when we hold on to those things, not pass that on to others, that gets clogged. Even good things from the Lord can get clogged, and it can bring death. Because we are made with purpose, not only to glorify Him, but to spread the love of God, to spread the kingdom of God through our lives. That is the purpose for every person in this room. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what profession you are in. That is the purpose for every person in this room, and you will never be happy unless you tap into that purpose. And God will give you the power to fulfill that. So how do we practice this every day? Like Pastor Bruce said, this love has to be expressed through our words and our actions. Being Japanese, I'm very bad at expressing my love using words. It's very difficult for Japanese people. And now that I've parented my children for 23 years or so, that's one of my regrets, that I have not used my words enough to express my love. I try my best to use my action, and hopefully my daughter, she knows that I love her, but she will probably throw up if I say I love you. That's like a Japanese culture right there, right? You only see that in anime. But I a little bit regret. I know it's not too late, you know, but because I see that it could have been a little different if I had verbally expressed the love of God and my love towards them. So I'm trying that out with my 10-year-old son. We'll see how that comes out. But words only are not enough either, right? American culture, on the other hand, they say a lot, right? Sometimes they don't show that in action, right? They love everything. They love their dogs. They love pizza. They love everything. So we need both. And Jesus definitely used both. He expressed his love by saying, "Your sins are forgiven." That word set her free. He also accepted her, not rejecting her like Simon did, right? All of those are signs of love. I mean, Jesus himself was the Word of God, right? All throughout thousands of years, from the very beginning, he is the Word. The Word was from the beginning. The Word has been taught, expressed, preached thousands of years, and now Jesus became flesh 2,000 years ago. He walked on this earth. He lived a life that we should have lived, died a death that we should have died on the cross on our behalf. Ultimate expression of God's love. Didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose in power, seated in heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to us. Now we are the recipient of the love of God, but also the recipient of God of love. In Holy Spirit, as God lives inside of us, He is the God of love that enables us to love other people. It's truly impossible for us to love other people without God inside of us. You might be nice enough, maybe you can do it. It's impossible for me, at least. It's very difficult. It's difficult enough to love my wife. In certain, you know, situations, it's only God that enables me to always love people. She's wonderful. She has more difficulty loving me. But I'm grateful God lives inside of her. So one way that we practically execute this, loving people, is we use this simple model called BLESS. How many of you are aware of this BLESS? Okay, I cannot. Anyone? BLESS? B-L-E-S-S? Okay, some of you, because I learned this from Pastor Bruce. So maybe he's taught this in this church, but BLESS. Begin with prayer. Listen to their story. Eat together. Serve them. And share your story. So if you know this, let this be a reminder. But we begin with prayer, not because we want these other people to be changed. Prayer is a way for us to be transformed into God's image. That's what we pray. I don't pray that, okay, Lord, open his heart, open the eyes of this person, let this person change. I pray that my heart will be changed. I pray that I would have the compassion of God for this person. Otherwise, I can't even talk to them. I don't have the heart to listen to them and understand them. So that's why we begin with prayer. Not for them, it's for us to be transformed. And as we do that, somehow God opens opportunities for us to talk with them and listen to their stories. Their hearts are more open because they feel like we are actually listening to them. They feel like we actually care about them. And so they actually start to share their stories. And we listen and we understand where they're coming from. And we take it one more step. We invite them to our homes or we go out to eat together. Right? And when we eat together, something magical happens. I don't know why. I don't know if it's biblical, but it's cross-cultural. It doesn't matter where you're from, right? But when you eat together, you naturally talk and get to know each other deeper. And you find them sharing their stories at a deeper level, what they're going through, pains that they're going through, concerns that they have, anxieties, things about this world, things about their homes, things about their finances, things about their health, whatever it may be, they begin to actually share. Hey, I'm going through this. And then lastly, that becomes the open door for you to share your testimony, your story. Not because you're a doctor, you know everything or whatever, but because you've gone through it. You've gone through it yourself. What's the difference? Jesus helped you. When you were going through that sickness, Jesus healed you. When you lost that job, Jesus came through, provided another job. In every step in our Christian walk, Jesus was there. He came through. Yes, he loves you, but he gave you a story to share in each of those moments. And we have to be ready to share those stories. You can sympathize with these people as they go through these things. It's not a place where we judge them. Oh, you should have done this. It's easy for us to do that. But we remember how far we were from Jesus, how fallen we were, and how Jesus rescued us in those moments. And that becomes the testimony that can help others to know Jesus Christ. Lastly, I want to share a recent story from New York City. We do our Japanese outreach called Japanese Fellowship, and it's a monthly gathering that we host in our home. That's our passion, a faith goal as well. For a Japanese person to come to know Jesus Christ, it's a miracle. Every person needs a miracle. And so that's a heart cry, and we've been doing this for a few years, and we've been trying to incorporate this BLESS model into this. Because we've been trying to develop relationship through praying for them and, you know, listening to their stories and all these things. And yet, the last step of sharing a story or sharing the gospel, we didn't know how to do it because we get carried away with conversations, we have fun, and then before you know it, it's like midnight, right? It's like, okay, we're tired, goodbye. And then no progress, just physically tired, right? And so we decided to do this Japanese fellowship, and we intentionally start with sharing testimony. So we have a team of members who are Japanese or Japanese speaking who are already Christians. And so I assigned each one of them to share their testimony each month. And so there's no way to get around, you know, no way to miss the opportunity. So I do that. And then it's amazing. I mean, if nobody gets saved, it's fine because I get encouraged because of their testimonies. It's been so powerful to hear all these different testimonies. And we begin there, and then I follow with a short scripture and a little bit of teaching from the Bible, and then we go into eating. So nobody eats until they hear the gospel, okay? So that's how we do it. And then we eat, we fellowship, and during that time, there are more meaningful conversations because we start with testimony and the scripture. More people are curious, they ask questions and things like that. So we've been doing that, and then we're seeing progress, and yet nobody's getting saved. So we were so discouraged at the end of last year, December. Like, and then looking into next year, me and my wife, we were talking, we were like, should we continue this? We're so tired. We can have another, you know, day of the month just for something else. And then we had to repent, and we had to really pray and ask the Lord for fresh faith for this. And so in January, we did this. And we had a gathering here. Here's the picture. Actually, this is from February. But in January, you see this person right here, a 14-year-old girl. And her mom is right here. They've been coming for a couple of years, and they've been very interested in what the Bible had to say, and especially this 14-year-old girl. She is just so smart, and she asks amazing questions. And it's been fun answering questions and things like that. But in January, she came in, and she sat down, and she stood up right away, so excited. She was like, can I share my story? And so she started sharing. She was like, I have a boyfriend. I'm like, okay, that kind of story. and then she said, actually, he is a Christian from Sri Lanka. I'm like, what? And then she said, he gave me a Bible, New King James Version. So I can't read that, you know? Anyway, so she was like, I've been reading this Bible and I'm more interested in knowing more. Like, I want to know Jesus. I want to become a Christian. But I don't want to become a Christian because he's a Christian. So I'm putting a pause on this relationship. Now, that's a miracle for a 14-year-old to do that. I mean, how many of you can do that, right? And so we knew, our jaws are dropped, like all of us knew that God was working in this girl. And so next month, nothing happened that evening, but next month, we're like, we gotta meet together. We have to be ready to lead this girl to Jesus. And so I, you know, asked everyone to pray, prepare ourselves, be ready to engage in conversation and all of that. And so February, originally she said she couldn't make it, but she changed her schedule, she made it. And so we had the regular testimony time and Bible time. And after that, had some conversation, two of the ladies, a teammate, one of them came up to me, she's like, she's ready tonight. So I'm like, okay, go take her to another room, just talk to her. Leader to Christ. Just like, how do I do that? How do I do that? I didn't know she never did that before. So I gave her a one-to-one book in Japanese. And it's like, just lead her through the chapter one. It explains everything. And so they did that. And she, after 10 minutes or so, she came out of the room. She rose her hands, like, quiet, quiet. I want to share something to everyone. And so everyone listening, she's like, I made a decision to follow Jesus.
Wow.
I hear Jesus calling me. God sees every person. God is able to remove any blockages from anyone. But it begins with us. It begins with recognizing our own sinfulness, bringing all of that to the feet of Jesus. As we do that, God's love will flow through us, and we are able to walk in the purpose of God that He has destined for us. So this morning, I want us to really open our hearts to God. Ask ourselves, what is stuck in our hearts? Is it something that happened yesterday with somebody that you can't forgive? Is it the wars that are happening in the world? Is it something that you've been carrying ever since you were born? Whatever it is, Jesus knows. And He wants to set you free. He wants to forgive. He wants to heal. So that you can fulfill the purposes God has designed for your life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, God, for Your scripture that speaks to our hearts and our situations. And Lord, we bring ourselves to You this morning, knowing that You love us, Lord, that You have already demonstrated Your love towards us through Jesus Christ, that Jesus on the cross, He took our sins, He took all of the curses, He took even the sickness upon Himself, Lord God, nailed them to the cross, took them all the way down to hell, and resurrected in power. Lord, I thank You for that work, Lord God. We just pray that work will manifest even right now in the hearts of people to bring forgiveness, to bring healing, restoration, deliverance. And Lord, I pray, God, that everything that's clogging our hearts will just be flushed. Holy Spirit, now that You would come in to fill the empty spaces, bring restoration. Anything that's been damaged, I speak healing over them right now in Jesus' name. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, for Your love and Your work, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.